The Hits.
Salia kwa chama cha Republican ni kuwashawishi wapiga kura.
U.S. Attorney General after his former nominee Matt Gaetz withdrew from consideration. The United States and Kenya deepened their security cooperation with joint military training exercises. And in our entertainment report, Ghanaian twin sisters look to elevate their country's music scene. All this and much more coming up on today's Africa 54.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump moved quickly on Thursday to nominate former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi to be Attorney General for the United States after his former nominee and former Congressman Matt Gaetz withdrew from consideration. VOA's Philip Alexiou reports.
Hours after Matt Gaetz withdrew his nominee for U.S. Attorney General, President-elect Donald Trump then named another official from Florida, Pam Bondi, the former Attorney General of the Sunshine State. That coming hours after Gaetz withdrew from consideration on Thursday, he was facing opposition from Senate Republicans in the weeks since he was tapped for the role. He's been the subject of a House Ethics Committee probe into allegations of having sex with an underage girl and illicit drug use, and the committee was deadlocked Wednesday over releasing its report on him. Gaetz has denied wrongdoing. Trump's new pick, Bondi, served as the top law enforcement officer in Florida for 8 years and during his first term served on his Opioid and Drug Abuse Commission. Her resume is a sharp contrast with Gaetz, who has little of the traditional experience expected of an attorney general, with no experience in the Justice Department or as a prosecutor.
Gaetz.
Trump's the subject of multiple criminal investigations from U.S. and state prosecutors, and in announcing his choice of Bondi said, quote, "For too long, the partisan Department of Justice has been weaponized against me and other Republicans. Not anymore." Also Thursday, Trump's nominee for defense, Fox News host Pete Hegseth, faced questions from reporters over a California police report released this week. It says a woman filed a sexual assault complaint against him in 2017. The police declined to file charges against him since they could not be, quote, supported by truth beyond a reasonable doubt. Hegseth told media on Capitol Hill that, quote, "I'll keep it very simple. The matter was fully investigated and I was completely cleared." Trump has stood by Hegseth and in a statement Thursday called the allegations false. Philip Alexiou, VOA News.
It's always nice.
Donald Trump says his pick for border czar will be, quote, "in charge of all deportations of illegal aliens back to their country of origin." VOA's Veronica Villafañe reports on Trump's pick, Tom Homan.
Donald Trump's choice for border czar has worked for more than 30 years in federal immigration control. Tom Homan told this year's Republican National Convention that every president has said he would secure the border. But only Trump did it.
He created the most secure border in our history, and that's a stone cold fact. The data proves it. And guess what? He's going to do it again.
On the campaign trail, Trump promised mass deportations of undocumented immigrants.
Immediately upon taking the oath of office, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history.
Though experts note that migration and crime rates are not linked, Homan says deportations will fix what he calls the immigration mistakes of Joe Biden's presidency.
President Trump is going to end the Biden-Harris open border madness. We will stop the drugs and the crime from pouring into your neighborhoods.
Homan was acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the first Trump administration, where he led a 40% increase in deportation arrests.
Overall removals are down because the border is under better control than it has been in 45 years.
Illegal immigration was a major issue for many voters in this year's election. Political analyst Francisco Rodriguez says Homan has a zero-tolerance approach.
So if you are a criminal here and have a child or family here, Homan has stated that you can live with your children, with your spouse. No one is saying the family will be separated.
Former Florida state legislator Daisy Baez says Trump's intention to nominate Homan is a warning for the immigrant community.
If you're not a citizen or a permanent resident, you have no guarantee of staying in this country. It's very likely you'll be on the list of those eligible for deportation.
I got a message to the millions of illegal aliens that Joe Biden's releasing our country in violation of federal law. You better start packing now.
Homan is a former New York police officer who contributed to Project 2025, a set of policy proposals published by the Conservative Heritage Foundation Research Group to, quote, rescue the country from the grip of the radical left. Veronica Villafañe, VOA News.
It's quiet on the streets of Juba Friday following a night of heavy gunfire that erupted in the South Sudanese capital at the home of the country's former spy chief, who has been under house arrest for the past 2 months. Witnesses say soldiers exchanged fire with General Akol Kuo's security guards for about an hour on Thursday night. For more on Thursday night's exchange of gunfire, let's go to Jock Madut. Jock, he is a professor of anthropology and public diplomacy at Syracuse University in New York State. Mr. Jock, thank you for joining us. And what more can you tell us about last night's confrontation in Juba?
Pleasure to be here, ma'am. Yes, the night was terrifying to the residents. But luckily, some calm has returned to Juba today. But what happened in the night was an attempt to apprehend General Akol Kurkuk, who was the former Director General of National Security Services. And this attempt to arrest him in order to extend the house arrest he has been under, and they try to move him to another location, and this led to a gun confrontation between the small number of his bodyguards who were in his house and the forces that had come with three generals leading them. And this fighting erupted and continued for about an hour or so, sending a lot of people running from the streets into their homes and making people living a terrifying night.
Professor, do you think the government of Salva Kiir should be concerned that this could potentially be something bigger than what was being seen on the surface?
Yes, we think that there is a lot more to this than what we have seen. The idea that there are grumbling voices within the security forces about the direction of the country, the fact that the army has not been paid for close to a year now, and security has been compromised all across the country. So there are a lot of voices who are unhappy with the way the country is being run. And the result, in our view, is that there will continue to be incidents of this kind, potentially even better organized for a possibility of a takeover of the government.
Jock, thank you very much for your insight. Jock Madut. Jock is a professor of anthropology and public diplomacy at Syracuse University in New York State. Right. In a pivotal move to bolster regional stability, the U.S. and Kenya have in recent months deepened their security cooperation with joint training exercises and increased military aid as both nations work together to tackle threats posed by extremist groups in the Horn of Africa. Juma Majanga reports from Nairobi, Kenya.
Kenya and the United States have a long history of military cooperation that goes back to early days of independent Kenya. Analysts say that cooperation has deepened in recent years, partly due to common security challenges facing the two countries. Hassan Kanenje is the director of the Horn International Institute for Strategic Studies, a research and policy think tank in Nairobi.
When it comes, for instance, to the issues of terror, the ongoing instabilities within the region, as well as the new geopolitics that are facing the continent, in which, of course, the U.S. is an important player in this space.
The U.S. has continued to support Kenya in peacekeeping missions and military trainings. Last year, Kenya and the U.S. signed a joint defense cooperation framework to expand their cooperation in the fields of defense technology and innovation, counterterrorism, joint training, and maritime security. Early this year, U.S. Africa Command's largest military training exercise in East Africa, known as Justified Accord, was held in Kenya.
By coming here together, we've got a unique capability to build skills, build readiness, the capacity and capability of our teams, not only internationally, but unique to the region in order to combat violent extremism and those elements within our region that want to destabilize our communities and our governments.
We have our own eyesight, right? We have our own way that we do things, the way we see things, the way we train, the way we operate, right? And coming here for us to be important is to also broaden our mind, broaden the scope that we can see the world and understand that there are other people, other forces and other societies out there in the world that are doing what we're doing, but maybe they'd be doing it differently, or they've got things that challenge them more than it challenges us, or we have challenges that may challenge us more than them. And that communication, that crosstalk, not only builds a friendship for life, but it also builds an understanding and a belief that we're there together.
Major Tickle says Africa plays a significant role in global security.
Timeline is like 2050. Mm-hmm. The global, you know, one in three of the global population would be from Africa.
Absolutely.
So we don't think Africa's important. It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the continent grows and develops, those relationships with us, the world gets real small, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important for us to build those, you know, those relationships. Maintain those relationships in a very meaningful way.
Experts say fighting transnational organized crimes, including terrorism, remains a critical area of collaboration between Kenya and the U.S.
When it comes to terror, right now as we speak, there is an arc of terror running from northern Mozambique all the way to eastern DRC. And one of the things that is connecting that is also cultural as well as geographical. Most of these people tend to be Swahili speakers. Now, the United States, having been a country that was attacked on September 11, I think any act of terror is also a reminder to the United States of what potentially can happen when you let such conflicts and such terrorist activities fester in far-flung, you know, areas of the world.
The U.S. has designated Kenya as a non-NATO ally, being the only second country in Africa to have the designation. Security analysts say this will further deepen engagement and collaboration, as well as exchanges with regards to security architecture and support that Nairobi and its neighbors may need in ensuring peace and stability within the Horn of Africa. Juma Majanga, VOA Africa, Nairobi.
The World Food Program has launched a Global Outlook 2025 report providing details on global hunger and famine going into 2025. The report says most alarming is the surge in the number of people facing catastrophic hunger and on the brink of famine in 2024. The report also cites other contributing factors like disease outbreaks, climatic shocks and conflicts that will likely drive the crisis into 2025. For more on this report, I'm joined live from Rome, Italy, by Rania Dagash Kamara, UN World Food Programme Assistant Executive Director, Partnerships and Innovation. Rania, welcome to Africa 54. Now, WFP's Global Outlook 2025 paints a very grim picture with a staggering number of hungry people globally standing at around 343 million this year. Now, what are the driving factors?
Thank you very much, Esther. And I think you just said it. It's the overlay of conflicts which are increasing significantly over the last decade. It's the overlay of conflicts with climate change and more extreme weather conditions we're seeing. And then you add to that the economic shocks and the state of the world actually post-COVID. And that has put more and more people in what we call acute hunger in emergency conditions.
Rania, your report also says that 2025 is projected to have even more needs, humanitarian needs around the globe. What are the plans to mitigate this kind of crisis? This seems you already are projecting that there will be another crisis more than what we've seen this year.
It has unfortunately been a unrelenting trend over the last 4 years, this increase in need. And indeed, we are quite concerned, not just in the food security sector, but I'd argue the humanitarian needs overall are increasing significantly. For us, one of the things that has been critical is the food prices have doubled in 26 countries globally. So the high food inflation has pushed millions out of reach of being able to reach food.
I note that in your report, you are appealing for quite an amount of money. It's $16.9 billion to support more than 123 million people around the world. But that amount appears to be less than the people that are needy. What other plans do you have to be able to meet the needs of those people? Some of them not just hunger, but also medical issues. Rania? Can you hear me, Rania? Looks like we've lost Rania on that interview. So we're going to move on to the break. As always, we're excited to hear what you think about Africa 54 and the stories we cover here. You can have all of that on VOA Africa programs on our website at voaafrica.com. Still to come, Ghanaian twin sisters are on a mission to elevate their country's music scene. We'll be right back.
Despite the immense spending power of black consumers in the $60 billion beauty industry, they remain largely underserved by a market that is slow to reflect their needs and desires. In fact, black consumers are three times more likely to be dissatisfied with their options for hair care, skin care, and makeup compared to non-black consumers. On this week's edition of Our Voices, we'll explore the world of black beauty through the lens of cosmetic entrepreneurs and discuss the challenges faced by consumers with darker skin tones in the beauty industry. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
Watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in.
In other news, refugees at Malawi's only refugee camp, Zaleka, have started receiving their first ever insurance payouts to mitigate the impact of the El Nino weather pattern, which has destroyed their crops. The payouts, amounting to nearly $408,000 in total, are being facilitated by the African Risk Capacity Group and KfW Development Bank. The UN says beneficiaries will receive approximately $33 per household per month for 3 months. The military-led Burkina Faso government has frozen the assets and resources of more than 100 people, including ex-president Paul Henri Sandaogo Damiba and two jihadist groups, over the financing of terrorism, according to a decree. The action affects 113 individuals and two terrorist organizations, according to a document signed by Finance Minister Abubakar Nakanabo. Making decorative gingerbread houses is a Christmas tradition in several countries. But a New York City museum is going a step further by using the humble holiday cookie to construct a stunning tribute to the Big Apple. Aaron Runnan has the story.
This holiday season, step into the Museum of the City of New York and immerse yourself in the delightful aroma Inside, you'll find gingerbread versions of New York City icons, all competing for the top prize in design and construction in what is dubbed the Great Borough Bake-Off.
I walked in and, like, just smelled the smell of gingerbread, and it was really nice.
It smells really good, yeah. Smells divine.
Yeah.
According to Bake Off rules, each design must be entirely edible and crafted from at least 80% gingerbread.
We have famous New York City icons that people will recognize right off the bat, including the Freedom Tower and the Oculus from Lower Manhattan. We have the Empire State Building with King Kong and Spider-Man crawling up the side. This year's winner for Best Overall was the Wonder Wheel from Coney Island.
Other highlights include a whimsical gingerbread Bronx zoo, complete with animals sculpted from icing, and an intricate recreation of Forest Hill Station in Queens. But not all entries focus on architecture. Gingerbread baker Jewel Johnson drew inspiration from one of New York's most iconic foods, pizza.
I used red royal icing to make the sauce and just regular white fondant to make the cheese. And I used like a cheese grater to make them like mozzarella shreds, and then a torch to torch it and melt it and make it all brown and gooey, bubbly looking.
Visitors say the gingerbread creations are putting them in a holiday mindset.
I think it's great, especially this time of year, as it gets me into the holiday mode. So it's pretty cool to see such artwork from such amazing bakers.
The exhibit is open through January 12th, offering visitors a chance to experience the magic and the sweetness of the Big Apple. Aaron Rainin, VOA News, New York City.
Ghanaian twin sisters Patricia Delali Dake and Trisha Wolali, who go by the stage name Lali and Lola, say that they are on a mission to elevate their country's music scene with their form of Afrofusion, a blend of traditional African sounds with contemporary pop and R&B influences. Jackson Bunganyi joins us now with details. Hello, Jackson.
Hello, Esther. Lali and Lola embrace music as a true family affair. They are managed by their father, styled by their mother, as their brother works on production. In our conversation, they reflect on the impact of working with family on their creative process that culminated in their debut EP. Let's check it out.
Okay, let's start off by asking, who is Lali, who is Lola? Because both of you, I'm a little, you know,
confused. you met us on a good day because we would have, yeah, would have confused you, but it's okay. So I'm Lali
and I'm Lola,
and we are Lali X Lola, your favorite Ghanaian twins. Hey, hey, hey.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. Wait, is that your TikTok, the way you start your TikToks?
Yeah, that's like an intro.
That's
like a little cute intro. Yeah.
I love it. It's beautiful. I've been listening to your music, beautiful songs,
great
performances. You guys grew up as dancers?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We since like we were young, we just self-taught, like just watching stuff on TV, YouTube, and then we just learned it from then. We've been dancing since, yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your music. How, what kind of music were you listening to when you were growing up? What music was playing in the background?
I have to give like all the props to my dad because he used to play jazz in the car.
Yeah,
and like just instrumentals, jazz, very smooth.
Yeah,
and then when we're like growing up, like further into teenage days, you know, we're listening to
R&B,
Chris Brown,
Asa.
I'm Asa, a big fan of Asa, yes.
Like,
I love R&B back then.
Yeah.
And then right now we listen to more Afrobeats.
Afrobeats, country, like we're very experimental.
Yeah.
We're
listening
to. Yeah. Most Ghanaians that I speak to, whenever I ask them the music that shaped their sound, they always talk about High Life. Did you guys ever listen to High Life? Was that something that was being played at all at your house?
Okay, so we listened to High Life, but the 90% of it was mostly like jazz. Because the thing is, our dad, he used to be in a band. So like he used to like
that was his thing. So for us in the house, it was jazz. It just like that groove that would keep you like.
But then obviously when you leave the house, most of the music that you hear is high life.
Yes, it's high life. Yeah.
Right.
So we still have all songs. Yeah.
Let's talk about, you talked about your dad being in a band. Really, it's for you guys, it's a family affair in many ways. Your dad is your manager. Your mom is your stylist. I'm sure she chose the red hair and the red glasses.
Yeah, she's our brand manager.
Right, your brother is your producer. How does working so closely with your family impact your creative process and, I guess, professional decisions?
Okay, so the funny thing is, when we started, right, our brother was like learning how to like self-produce from like YouTube. So he like taught himself how to produce, and we like we're just passing by and we heard the song. We're like, you know what? Let's just hop on it. He's like, literally, we just hopped on it, and then like that's how like the music started. And then our parents, they were like so open to us like exploring that like aspect of our life, and they were like, you know what, we're gonna be part of this. So in our housing, like we have
like so for us, we were looking at the long term.
Yeah.
So for us, we invested in
equipment,
the little resources that we had.
Yeah.
Invested in equipment.
Yeah.
So then we don't have to now outsource for studios.
Yeah.
Now, if we want to lay a track right now, we can do it right now.
Yeah.
So then we have a studio in the house, so it makes everything easier.
And our parents' room is just like 10 steps away from our room. Our brother's room is like also another like 10 steps away
so
from our
like,
room.
So just like knock on his door. Excuse me, have you done this?
Have you
sent this beat to my email? As a journey begins, you can't take what's for me. You can't take what's for me. I'll be Pacific in now. As a journey begins, you can't take what's for me.
Esther, that is all for entertainment this week. Back to you.
Lovely, fantastic twins there, Jackson. Be sure to tune in to Africa 54 each Friday for our entertainment report. And that's our show for today. Be sure to watch Africa 54 on our website at voaafrica.com. From all of us here in Washington, have a great weekend.
Times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.